Great Smoky Mountains National Park is the most visited park in the country, but how safe is it? What precautions should you take if you go hiking or camping? These are good questions for David Brill. He's an avid hiker, adjunct UT professor, and author. His latest book, Into the Mist, tells the story of the dangers that befell the park's visitors dating back to the Great Depression. I'm here with David Brill, and we're talking about, in part, safety in the Smokies and safety when you're out hiking and whatnot. So the Great Smoky Mountains National Park is the most visited park in the country. How dangerous is it?
Well, compared to with most major urban areas, it's incredibly safe. There have been between 1931 and 2013, there were 468 fatalities in the park. Compare that with any major urban area, and it's minimal. However, there are hazards lurking in the park, and people need to be mindful of what those are and be thoughtful in planning their trips to the park.
What is what's one of the most common safety mistakes that people make when they're going out on the trail?
I'd say the overarching theme or lesson is you can't over-prepare for a trip into the park's backcountry. Often say prepare for the worst, but expect the best. It's folks who kind of bumble into bad situations, not recognizing how rapidly the weather can change. And as an example, the blizzard of 93, the storm of the century, on Thursday, this is early March of 1993, and on Thursday in Gatlinburg, it was 71 degrees. By Sunday night on Mount LeConte, it was 10 below zero, and 5 feet of snow had fallen in a 24-hour period, and there were more than 150 people in the backcountry. So they entered the park when it was balmy and warm. When they exited the park, there were feet of snow, and the temperature was hovering just above zero.
Did anyone get hurt or killed during that?
Miraculously, and this is one of the many tributes to the National Park Service staff in my book, every single person was brought out alive. 300 people died in that storm, but not one of them died in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And to keep things in perspective, the park was without power for 14 days. Many of the staff had trouble just showing up for work, but with the help of Air National Guard, helicopters, tracked vehicles, the Park Service got every single one of the 150-plus people out of the backcountry alive.
Wow. So what's one thing that people can do for their safety when they decide to enjoy hiking trails of any size, but particularly in places like the Smokies where they can encounter all sorts of wildlife?
Wildlife really is not much of a threat at all. The things that people fear most are the things that actually pose the least threat. For instance, folks who are not familiar with the park are fearful of bears and poisonous snakes. In the history of the park, there's been one fatal bear attack. That was in May of 2000, and there have been no fatal snake bites. So the things that people need to be mindful of, you know, the park is a temperate rainforest and water is a dominant feature of the park, and moving water in particular. 60 people have drowned in the park, making it the third leading cause of death behind automobile accidents and airplane crashes. Crossing rapidly moving water is always a dangerous proposition. There have been 18 fatal falls in the park, and many of those, if not most, resulted from people crossing the slippery rocks at the top of waterfalls. So be mindful of water, particularly moving water this time of year. There's a lot of rain. Pack multiple layers. Don't wear cotton. Cotton kills is the old adage that many backpackers are familiar with. Cotton absorbs a lot of water and takes a long time to dry. Multiple layers, rain gear, plenty of food, fuel, shelter if you're staying overnight. Consult a map. Know where you are at all times. Don't rely on your digital device because those things can fail and there are parts of the park that are out of range.
And something that's come up interestingly enough is, there's been a black bear that keeps coming into downtown Gatlinburg. And we had an author actually last week who's written a children's book about it.
I heard that episode.
And a lot of people, I think, look at this and they're sort of, bemused by it and whatnot. But what sort of threats do black bears pose? And more importantly, what do humans need to do to get out of the bear's way?
Well, decades ago, the park implemented a bear management strategy, science-based bear management strategy, but it could, I think, more aptly be phrased at a human management strategy. Bears are not dangerous until they've become habituated to humans and lost their fear of human beings. If they've been rewarded by food out of a garbage can or a picnicker who offers Oreo cookies to a bear, those things can really turn a bear from a fully wild animal that's fearful of people to one that looks to people for as a source of food. So I think, and there's also a law, you cannot approach wildlife in the park, and I don't remember the specific distance, but the park could give you that. But it's a violation of federal law to approach animals too closely. So observe them from a distance. Give them plenty of room. If you note any change in their behavior, increase your distance. Be respectful of the park, nature at large, wildlife. Don't be fearful, but be respectful. I think that's an important message.
Tell me a little bit more about your work studying people who died in the Smokies. Where did you find that data?
The data were extant, but they were distributed in a half dozen or more different places. The park archive and library had extensive files, including press releases, superintendent's reports. National Archives in College Park, Maryland had a number of records from like the 40s through the 70s. And all the the park incident reports, anytime there's a fatality in the park staff compile extensive forensic research on how the accident occurred. So these materials were available, but had never been compiled. And the Park Service staff was enormously helpful in guiding me to these resources. But the appendix to the book, which presents a couple of sentences about all 468 fatalities, it's the first time we've been able to point to what causes people in the park, all the causes of death. This had never been compiled, and it wasn't part of the assignment for this book. But once I started digging in there and started gathering these materials, it seemed like really a useful tool to put that appendix together so people could gain a grasp of how and why people die in the park.
What's the leading cause of death in the park?
By far, in a way, the leading cause of death is automobile, motorcycle, and moped accidents. There's no question. It's about a third of all the fatalities have resulted from vehicle accidents. By far the most dangerous place in the park, mile for mile, is the spur that connects Gatlinburg with Pigeon Forge. Posted speed limits in the park are well thought out, and they're posted for a reason. And distracted driving, impaired driving, or pressing the speed limit, you know, was behind most of those fatalities, or many of them anyway.
What was the most surprising thing that you found in researching your book?
Airplane crashes. Second leading cause of death behind automobiles. And in recent history, most of the fatalities have involved small aircraft with just a couple of passengers. But while I was doing my research, I discovered that during World War II, heavy bombers were flying between the East Coast and the West Coast right over the mountains. So there were numerous crashes of large aircraft with large crews, which really did account for the significant number of fatalities that resulted from plane crashes.
Well, David Brill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Victor. It's been great to be here.